God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Jesus' simple question today opens up an extraordinary depth of meaning. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then, more personally, but who do you say that I am? Peter is the one who answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." On this rock I will build my church. These are strangely some of the most consequential words ever spoken about the church. These eight little words have been understood across time in remarkably different ways. For Roman Catholics, Peter is the rock upon which Christ builds the church. And Peter's unique role continues through the bishops of Rome. Peter was martyred in Rome and buried on Vatican Hill. The Pope is seen as Peter's direct apostolic successor and continues to lead the church from that exact spot, seen as the living continuation of the promise Jesus made in our gospel today. And that is what makes that role what it is. For Orthodox Christians, Peter is the first amongst the apostles, honoured with a unique place in the gospel story, but not understood. The church is not seen as being built upon one man or one office. And among Protestants and Reformed Catholics, there's been another emphasis. Many have understood the rock not principally as Peter himself, but as Peter's statement, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The church is built upon faith in Christ, upon the truth that Peter proclaimed. Different conclusions, very different interpretations, but perhaps in different ways there's truth in all of them. Because the extraordinary thing about Christianity is what happened next. The church was built, not perfectly, not without schism and argument and corruption and reform and failure and renewal, but it was built. Peter and the apostles travelled and preached. Communities gathered around the Lord's table. People were baptised, scriptures were read, churches were built. Schools and universities were founded in Christ's name. Hospitals, orphanages established. People cared for the poor, the sick, and the stranger. The teachings of Christ have been made tangible in the world. The gospel became something Christians did, following Christ's simple instruction to love your neighbour. And we are part of that extraordinary story. From these very pews, week after week, people support the work of the church within and beyond this building. Through support of community organisations, we support people we might never meet in circumstances we hopefully may never experience. That is the gospel made real. This is what happens when Peter's declaration, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," becomes more than a sentence read out in church. It becomes a way of living. St. John's Toorak is itself part of this long story. This church building has stood here through generations of Australians. People have been baptised and married and farewelled here. They've heard the scriptures proclaimed and they've received communion. And through all the changes of almost 170 years, this church, this parish, this community has continually and gently evolved. That brings me to a rather intriguing thought from the recent film Conclave. Has anyone seen it? Yep, great costumes. It's a great film. Rip a yarn. But it's not a theological resource by any means. But sometimes scriptwriters just do such a good job. The mysterious Cardinal of Kabul, Vincent Benitez, wins his fellow cardinals over with some very simple observations. "The church is what we make it," he says. "It's a living thing, and like all living things, it must grow and change and adapt." And then he says, perhaps even more provocatively, "The church is what we do next." I came across these words again at about the same time that I read a report from last week's General Synod. That's our overarching Anglican Australian body that sets our policies. One session was held to seek a solution. It didn't find one. to seek a solution to the financial demise of the Diocese of North Queensland. The writer lamented that there was no realistic way forward. There will simply be no Anglican churches for thousands of kilometres. An outcome of this was to explore models of future sustainability for the broader church, and regret was expressed that this was too late to save North Queensland. I couldn't help but ask myself, what planning should they have done 20 years ago, 50 years ago, to prevent this from happening? The church is what we do next. The words of the fictional Cardinal Benitez seem particularly appropriate to the broader church and also to us right now. To us, because St John's is not simply the inheritor of a wonderful past, we are its present custodians. And we have a responsibility to those who will sit in these pews 50, 100, perhaps 150 years from now. How do we ensure that St John's remains a thriving Christian community in Toorak? How do we plan for a prosperous future? The conversations that parish councils have been having about our land and our buildings are not simply about bricks and mortar or development or money. They're conversations about sustaining this parish into the future. And how might we, from this place of extraordinary privilege and stability, help the wider diocese establish and sustain churches in the growth corridors where Melbourne's future communities are being formed? These are big questions. They deserve prayer and wisdom and imagination and courage. Because sometimes preserving something means changing it. That's one of the great paradoxes of the Christian life. The church has survived not by remaining exactly as it was, but by continually asking how the unchanging gospel can be lived faithfully in a changing world. Peter himself discovered that. He had the courage to say, "You are the Messiah." But we know that Peter didn't understand everything. He misunderstood Jesus often. He denied Jesus. He needed to learn and change and grow. And yet Jesus did not discard him. Jesus built the church with him. That gives me enormous hope, because perhaps the church doesn't need perfect people. Perhaps it needs faithful people who are willing to listen, to learn, to change, to forgive, and to try again. Change is not easy. There'll be moments when we wish that we could simply preserve everything exactly as it is. But Peter's words call us forward. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Christ is still Christ. The gospel is still the gospel, and the church is still ours to build. May God give us the wisdom to honour what has been entrusted to us, the courage to change what needs to change, and the generosity to build something that those who come after us will thank God for. Because this is, we are, we will be Christ's church. And by the grace of God, we have the extraordinary privilege of helping to build it. In the name of Christ, Amen.